You're listening to the Hamilton Today podcast from 900 CHML.
Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday told soldiers who had fought in the Ukraine war that he would run for president again in the 2024 election, a move that will allow the former KGB spy to stay in power until at least 2030, so says Reuters. To talk more about all of this and what it means for the world moving forward, let's bring in Arl Brown, professor, international relations, senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto, and with us now. Arl, thank you for the time. I hope you're well.
Thank you.
How much does the distraction of world conflict that is going on now distract or take away from what is going on with Putin?
We certainly don't spend as much time looking at what Russia is doing in Ukraine, how that conflict is going. But clearly, there is an impatience in the Western countries. Democracies tend to focus inwardly. And we know that Ukraine needs more help. They need more economic help. They certainly need more military help. In the United States, they have not yet passed the bill that would provide that help. I expect it will be passed at some point. But it creates an atmosphere of uncertainty. And because of this, Vladimir Putin appears to think that time is on his side. And even though by Russian standard, he's quite elderly, 71, he has decided, obviously, to run. It was almost comical that he was handing out these major awards to the soldiers who were fighting the war in Ukraine, a war of aggression, where they are committing all sorts of atrocities. And they were being given some of the highest honors. And a lieutenant colonel asked Putin to run, and he said, well, I have been hesitating, but I will run. He may as well have announced the results already because the results are in. This is a sure thing, and he may as well have said what percentage he will win by, because that probably has already been decided as well in the Kremlin.
Does this change the stance of the U.S., creating more angst, perhaps, draw attention to the fact that he's not going anywhere?
I don't think there was any expectation in the U.S. or elsewhere that Vladimir Putin was not going to run, because given the political system that he has, he does not have the option of retiring. This is not a place where you leave office and then you write your memoirs, because there are too many bodies. Too many people who have disappeared because of Vladimir Putin. He's got far too much blood on his hands. And there are all sorts of risks, both domestic and external. He had just visited Saudi Arabia, and he has been able to go elsewhere because, despite the fact that there is a warrant for his arrest from the prosecutor in the International Criminal Court, as long as he is the leader of Russia, he has been untouchable. If he were to leave that position, then it would be an entirely different situation. So I think Western governments expected him to run, expect him to try to cling to power as long as possible. And ultimately, he will be removed either because the Russians lose the war or because no one is immortal.
What about other powers, China and India? How do they view this? Does it work to their advantage?
China has an interesting relationship with Russia. There's a pretense that this is a relationship of equals, when very clearly Russia has become increasingly a client state, a vassal state of China. The Chinese economy is vastly larger than that of Russia. The Russian economy, in nominal terms, is really not much bigger than that of Canada. It's roughly the size of that of Italy's. And Vladimir Putin is pleading with the Chinese for political support in international fora. He's pleading for technological transfers. He is pleading for economic help. And so, in a sense, he has mortgaged Russia's future internationally. As far as India is concerned, there is some competition as to influence in the South. India wants to be the leader of the South, and Russia also wants to play a large role in the South, particularly in the case of BRICS. So it is a relationship of convenience with India, where India has not supported the Russian aggression, but has not come out fully either to condemn it. And India has been purchasing oil from Russia, and that helps give the Russian economy a lifeline.
Are you surprised the Israeli-Hamas conflict has superseded Ukraine? It seems to have taken the attention away from it.
Not really, because Israel has always been a huge fascination and focus for the United Nations. If a Martian were to land Washington or New York or any capital and look at the United Nations, it would think that there is no greater threat to the international system than little Israel. And we can go back many, many, many years. And the media has also this large fascination. And we did not have the same kind of interest when in Syria, for example, the Syrian regime killed half a million people. We did not see the United Nations Secretary General use Article 99 to call for an emergency measure. We have a war going on in Darfur. We have other conflicts. So anything in the Middle East will generate a huge amount of attention. Ukraine was in Europe, so this is why we had more attention than, let's say, we paid to conflicts in the DR Congo. But there is a degree of fatigue with Ukraine because there were exaggerated expectations. But it is a vital conflict. It is something that is crucially important for democracies, what is happening in Ukraine, and we better pay attention to it.
Arl Brown with us, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. Arl, as always, fascinating. Thanks for the time. Be well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.